Genius.
The fully realized vision of an authentic American genius.
We need your brain.
Don't you have a brain in your head?
Ah, then I will have to adjust your brain a bit.
Every day, Billy the Brain talks with the best guests in America.
Cool.
About business.
The boss that works for you.
Entertainment. Sports.
Turning out of sports.
And the local community.
Radio keeps its eye on local events.
It's time for brainstorming.
My brain is like mush.
With Billy the Brain.
Sounds like fun. Let's go.
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Hi, this is Bill Frank, and you're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. We're live every day, Monday through Friday at 10 o'clock here on KKZZ, Positive Talk Radio for Ventura and Santa Barbara counties. You can also hear us streaming over the internet at brainstormingonline.com. My goal is to bring you interviews with thought leaders in business, entertainment, sports, and the local community. Together, we'll listen to what these people say and relate it to how we live and work right here in Ventura County. Brainstorming with Billy the Brain is smart radio with sharp questions aimed at intelligent guests. It's talk radio done right for the 21st century. If you want to join in the conversation, you can call us at 639-0008, or if you're outside of the area code, it's area code 805-639-0008. Every show has a theme, but before we get to today's theme, I want to remind you to take the poll that is up on my website, brainstormingonline.com. I ask a real simple multiple-choice question. Who had a greater influence on U.S. history? Was it Martin Luther King or Cesar Chavez? Go to my site, brainstormingonline.com, take the poll. Once you place your vote, you'll get an intermediate results of where you stand in the poll. Then I'll announce the overall results on tomorrow's show. You'll find the poll up on my website, brainstormingonline.com. STORMIN online.com. Every show has a theme, and today's theme is working well with others. Each of my guests will describe how their subject matter requires working with others. My first guest is the former Los Angeles police chief turned consultant. We'll discuss reaching across boundaries in a networked world to succeed from his book titled Collaborator Parish. My second guest is the definitive biographer of GOP presidential hopeful Mitt Romney. He'll give us a balanced overview of Romney's life and his career from his book, Mitt Romney, An Inside Look at the Man and His Politics. My third guest is the leading authority on the consciousness and transformational world. She'll give us daily techniques to manifest our dreams from her latest book titled Practical Conscious Creation. And if you want to join in the conversation or if you want to ask a question, you can call us at 639-0008. Bill Bratton served as the chief of police for the Los Angeles Police Department, the New York City Police Commissioner, and the Boston Police Commissioner. Bill began his police career at the Boston Police Department before becoming police commissioner in New York City, where his zero-tolerance policy had been credited with reducing petty and violent crimes. He moved to Los Angeles Police Department in 2001, reforming the police after the 1992 Los Angeles riots and the crime was reduced again. Bill's policing style is influenced by the broken windows theory, which is if a minor or petty crime is not dealt with, crime in general will increase. He advocates having an ethnically diverse police force representative of the population and maintaining strong relationships with the law-abiding population. Bill was approached recently by British Prime Minister David Cameron and became the new Metropolitan Police Commissioner in July of 2011, but that was blocked by the Home Office on the grounds that the commissioner must be a British national with experience in British law. Bill instead was offered to an advisory role to the British government, which he accepted in August of 2011. He holds a Bachelor of Science in Law Enforcement from the University of Massachusetts Boston and a research fellow at the John F. Kennedy School of Government at Harvard University. Hi, Bill. How are you today? Welcome to the show.
It's great to be with you.
Well, thank you so much for being our guest. Always love to have a thought leader like yourself on the show. And your book is really a guide for how to share information, how to collaborate across groups based on the experiences that you've had in your life. So how would you apply the principles that you have in Collaborate or Perish to the U.S. Congress today? I mean, we're at a point in U.S. history where an impasse and indecision are just not acceptable alternatives. So take some of your theories here and apply them to the U.S. Congress, if you will.
Well, with a 9% approval rating, it's quite clear they need some help. they are supposed to be a deliberative body, a body that is able to arrive at some degree of consensus, and they seem to have lost that fine art of politics. In the book, Collaborator Parish, that I co-authored with my colleague from Harvard University, Zach Tooman, we identify eight steps that we think are essential to success in either the private or public sector, and in the public sector, even in politics. And so your question, I might apply a couple of those steps to the logjam that they seem to find themselves in. One is to have a vision, and unfortunately the competing vision right now is to win at all costs. And the problem with that type of philosophy is that even if they win, how are they going to get anything done? Because they're so alienated the other side that nothing will get done. So that is the inappropriate vision to have. It's going to lead to nothing. So number one, change your vision. And basically what you want to do is right-size the way forward. In other words, basically set a goal that actually is achievable. And they were able to achieve some modicum of success recently when they were able to, lo and behold, vote for 2 months to extend the operations without closing down the government. But now they're going to have to go back and see if they can extend it for the rest of the year. And so they seem to be having a great difficulty right-sizing the problem. The third thing we talk about in the book is create a platform that everybody can stand on. Well, it's supposed to be the floor of Congress, and unfortunately they can't seem to find a way that they can all get on that platform at the same time. Make it pay for everybody. Well, when you have a vision that to win at all costs and make sure that the other side does not win anything, you're certainly not going to succeed. The fifth idea of having the right people with you, that doesn't mean you exclude everybody who happens to have a different opinion than you do, which seems to be the current cause of a lot of the paralysis. Number six is certainly something they're failing at miserably: deliver on performance, deliver what you're promising. None of them have the capability to deliver from either party on what they're promising, because we still operate in a democracy where you still have to have some degree of consensus to get anything done. Number seven, this is laughable, mind your political support, stay in the headlamps. The Republican Party at the moment seems to have no headlamps. They're all over the place, so it'll be interesting to see the resolution of their current primary circumstance. And number eight, lastly, you must have the passion and the playbook to lead. Well, they clearly all have the passion, but the passion, the playbooks that they're focusing it on, quite clearly are not succeeding. So it's time to get back to a new vision and start all over again. So I've just laid out the eight elements of the book, and from my perspective, where they're failing and what they might have to do to try and start succeeding once again.
Very insightful. My guest is Bill Bratton, former L.A. police chief, now author of the book Collaborate or Perish. And Bill, after you reduce the crime, and I'm going to talk a little bit about your career, after you reduce the crime in New York by 12% during your first year, and that was compared to a national average of only 1%, what were your first priorities when you came to Los Angeles to be the police chief? Because, go ahead and answer that.
Well, that 12% reduction, going back to the 8 points in our playbook, was right-sizing the problem that myself and the group I surrounded myself with, who shared the vision that in New York in 1994 you could do something about crime. We believed that the department had the capacity to achieve a 10% reduction, even though the previous 2 years it only achieved 1% reductions. We got 12%. The next year we felt we could get 15%. We got 17%. So we right-sized the problem. In L.A. coming in 2002 was a similar set of circumstances: low morale. Officers were leaving the department in droves. Crime had been going up steadily for 3 years. And it was a matter of right-sizing the problem. So I had a vision that Mayor Hahn clearly shared with me, the mayor at the time, that we could do something about crime and morale. And I was able to surround myself with a group of very smart people from both within and without the department who shared the vision. We created a platform that the union could get on board with us, that the union that had spent $1 million getting rid of my predecessor. We effectively right-sized the problem in that we set a goal for 10% crime reduction, because we felt that the department that had been seeing crime increases could achieve that, and they did. And in fact, over the last 9 years, overall crime in that city is down by over 60%. So it's continued even after I've gone. So we quite clearly delivered on performance, and there was something in it for everybody, which is key. People want to be rewarded, acknowledged, and we were able to find some degree of reward for everybody, whether it was pay incentivization, psychic rewards or incentivization. So unions got on board with us. Communities, once again, got on board with us. And one of the things I feel most proudly about my public life was that when I left in 2009, the L.A. Times, in an editorial, praised the department for having turned a corner on the issue of race, something that for 50 years had bedeviled the LAPD and the city of L.A., that nowhere near resolution, but certainly better to have turned a corner rather than be just stuck in the streets fighting it out.
Well, it's a remarkable accomplishment. My guest is Bill Bratton, former L.A. police chief. And I want to come back to the right-sizing of the problem, because not only did you right-size the problem here in Los Angeles, you did it as well in New York City. But talk to me, and let's get into some more specifics about how you right-sized the problem in Los Angeles to make it more manageable, to make it so you could deliver on your promises. It wasn't like, I'm going to go out and I'm going to reduce crime citywide. You really focused on some very specific areas. Tell us how you did that.
Well, we were attempting to reduce it citywide, understanding that we could not reduce it in every neighborhood. So in right-sizing the problem, whereas in New York with 38,000 cops, I believed I could right-size it, that every one of the 75 precincts in that city could see crime reduction, and for 2 years, each of them received double-digit crime reductions. There just weren't enough cops in L.A. We only had 9,200. Eventually, we were able to grow it to 9,900 with the active leadership of both mayors. But I couldn't be everywhere all at the same time. So we identified five key pilot locations that were symbolic but were also test cases for us. Hollywood, out in the valley, one of the more problematic neighborhoods in San Fernando Valley. Skid Row, we're Skid Row in America. We had down on the south side of the city spent so much of the violence, Baldwin Village. We had an initiative down there. And the MacArthur Park, which has appeared in almost every movie ever made about Los Angeles, the crown jewel in their park system, which had been overtaken by drug dealers, panhandlers, prostitutes. We knew we could go into those five areas, build a platform that we could get the community groups, business groups to work with us, set goals, achievable goals. There was going to be something in it for everybody, cops, politicians. And we got it done. All five of those neighborhoods got an infusion of extra police, showing the importance of police, that then helped to support the idea of hiring 700 more. And in every one of those neighborhoods, crime went down and has continued to go down. So we right-sized it for Los Angeles, considering the resources we had to work with on that problem.
My guest is Bill Bratton, former L.A. police chief, also now author of the book Collaborator Parish, Reaching Across Boundaries in a Networked World. Talk to us a little bit about the platform. Now that you've identified those five areas in Los Angeles, what was your platform so that you could deliver the win-win situation that you talked about, Bill?
Well, working with my co-author, and I'd point that out, this is a book co-authored with Zach Tooman, whose idea it was for the book, that the platform we designed in L.A. was the one that everybody could get on and what everybody wanted in Los Angeles. And that was an improved relationship between the police and the community. There were no relationships, by and large, particularly with the African-American and the growing Latino community in terms of positive relationships. And so in many meetings and church basements and meeting halls in both of those communities, we made it quite clear to those communities that we were going to put resources into their neighborhoods to work with them, not against them, but work with and for them to reduce crime. I surrounded myself with police leadership who believed that it could be done, who were willing to do that, reaching out to build the bridges, who could be respected by the communities who were mistrustful of the police. The platform also allowed for the city council, city attorney, the political leadership of the city to get on that platform and to build relationships between the communities they were elected by and the police department that they oversaw. And so that platform, that common ground, was there was something in collaboration for everybody. Improved safety, improved satisfaction. Everybody got something out of it.
My guest is former L.A. Police Chief Bill Bratton. And Bill, just recently you were awarded the CBE, which is the Commander of the Order of the British Empire by the British government. Tell us a little bit about what your life has been like working overseas in Great Britain with their law enforcement agencies.
I'm very proud of that award. It's one step below knighthood. As an American citizen, you can't be knighted, so it's the highest award the British government can give to a civilian. And it was in recognition, ironically, of the collaboration that I helped to foster with many of my colleagues between the British and American police services in learning from each other about gangs, about advances in technology. And so in the British Isles, I'm quite well known over there, and that's what prompted some of the discussion over the summer about potentially with the vacancy at the Metropolitan Police that, well, maybe we might look beyond our shores for a new leader, but the decision was made to keep it restricted to British citizens. But I was also very gratified when asked to attend and participate in a conference on the issue of gang violence, which they're very concerned with, understandably, over there, to offer an American perspective. And that mission was completed this past summer. I was very pleased and privileged to have been asked to participate.
Well, congratulations. It's quite an honor. My guest is Bill Bratton, co-author of the book Collaborate or Perish. Bill, what do you want readers to take away from reading your book, Collaborate or Perish?
First of all, I want them to have fun. These are 24, 26 stories, and each one is different other than the common theme that collaboration was an essential reason for their success or lack of collaboration for those that we identify as failures. And there are really, they're across the board interesting stories ranging from rescuing hostages in Colombia from the FARC rebels to the turnaround at Alcoa Aluminum when management and labor focused on safety to some of my stories in New York and L.A. There's some fun stories, there's some very informative stories. Credit cards, for example, that most people wouldn't have the faintest idea, something that everybody has in their wallet. Some of those things get created, and understanding that they've only been around for about 30, 35 years.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, how did Wells Fargo, which was very involved, and some of the other banks really get into this technology and advance it to the extent that everybody in the world basically carries these things now?
Well,
not everybody, but many.
And it's a great read. My guest has been Bill Bratton, co-author of the book Collaborate or Perish, Reaching Across Boundaries in a Networked World. Bill, if you've intrigued people, they want to learn more about you, learn more about the book, where would you direct them to go on the Internet?
Well, there's to buy the book, they can go to Amazon.com or their local bookstore. But to learn more about myself and Zach Tooman, we have a Facebook page, Collaborate or Perish. We have a Twitter, Bratton Tooman. Tooman's T-U-M-I-N. We have a webpage, BrattonandTooman.com. Shows how the world of collaboration has changed. When I did my last book in the 90s, there was no Twitter, there was no Facebook, there was no blog, and webs were just really coming into being. So the world is changing as fast as can be imagined.
It's creating all new platforms for you, Bill. Thank you so much for being my special guest here on Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. We'll talk to you down the road.
All the best.